WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A group which sued to keep former President Trump off Colorado's primary ballot next year says it's preparing to file an appeal to Colorado's Supreme Court. A judge today rejected the effort, which cites the 14th Amendment that prevents anyone who engaged in insurrection from holding public office. A shooting at a psychiatric hospital in Concord, New Hampshire, left two people dead, including the shooter.
The entire incident was contained within the lobby of the hospital.
State Police Colonel Mark Hall. The House could vote on a new resolution to expel New York Congressman George Santos after the Thanksgiving holiday. Add the Walt Disney Company, Warner Brothers, and Discovery to a growing list of companies which halted ad spending on the social media platform X over its owner Elon Musk's postings about an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. Disney is the parent company of ABC News. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has joined her husband, former President Jimmy Carter, in hospice care at their home in Plains, Georgia. This is ABC News. The CDC has issued a multi-state safety alert over an outbreak of salmonella linked to cantaloupes. Brands include Malachita brand whole cantaloupes, Vineyard brand pre-cut cantaloupes, and several Aldi whole cantaloupes and cut fruit products.
The recall stretches across 15 states and involves several brands of whole and pre-cut cantaloupes sold at stores, including Aldi. The CDC says it's logged 43 illnesses traced to a strain of salmonella and 17 hospitalizations, but the CDC says there have been no deaths reported. Investigators say they're working to identify more cases involving other cantaloupe products. Health officials say don't eat the recalled products, return them to the store, and wash surfaces with soap and water.
ABC's Michelle Franzen. Early bird holiday travelers are already crowding airports, getting a head start on the Thanksgiving weekend. The TSA says it expects to screen 30 million passengers between now and November 27th. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Tis the season for Village Hearth dinner rolls. Not only are a warm basket of fresh brown and serve or sweet Hawaiian pull-apart rolls the perfect accompaniment to holiday meals, they make great little sandwiches for a quick and easy lunch or dinner. Visit VillageHearthBreads.com for slider recipes, including chicken buffalo, pizza, and currywurst. Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa.
Whiskey in the Water.
With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy,
Whiskey in My Water,
and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa. Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa.
Whiskey in the Water.
With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa.
The railroads are working out the details. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's pleased with the progress made in the 2 years since the bipartisan federal infrastructure law was passed. In particular, she says all lead water pipes in Wisconsin are being replaced.
We're expecting to almost double the rate at which lead pipes are removed just in the next few years. And it's an example, again, of just a win-win-win for people who turn on the faucet. They want to know that their water is safe and clean.
Baldwin says rural Wisconsin is also benefiting from new high-speed internet. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
It's the Packers against the Chargers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-6 Packers host the 4-5 Chargers Sunday at Lambeau Field. Former offensive tackle Brian Bulaga is in town and says he wants to retire as a Packer. Bulaga played for both Green Bay and the Chargers. Kickoff at noon, game time weather pretty good for the middle of November. Sunshine and 45 Although Green Bay has struggled with this young roster, one player is having a great rookie season. Jaden Reed's stats are getting close to another receiver, Sterling Sharp. I asked Reed, what's the key to preparing for these games?
Getting a better feel for the offense, understand my job, and just, you know, study your opponent, know what they do, and, you know how to attack them.
College football, the Badgers hope to snap a 3-game losing streak when they host Nebraska 6:30 tomorrow night in Madison. Badgers running back Braylon Allen trying to come back from a high ankle sprain. Will he be able to play?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies overnight with a low of 26. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear skies again tomorrow, 50. Tomorrow night, lows around 29. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 34.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, Henny Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great organization. We always love to have them aboard, and it's just been a great partnership over the years. Hey, it's Friday, and we have State Senator Mary Kunish here, and it's always good. And, you know, I always like having you on, State Senator, not only because you're very cool, but we always, when we talk about things, it's always a positive. So I feel like Friday shows are always really positive, and I really appreciate that from you, and it's always a good vibe, because we know a few years ago it was kind of bleak for our state senators, and you always kept the show positive.
Oh, thank you. There's always got to be a nugget somewhere in your day that's going to be good, and you know, Fridays are my days with my granddaughter, so those are always a good day, even though it's exhausting. you know, we can find good things in every day, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You know, what's happening? What's going on with your campaign? I mean, we have things nationally happening. I know here we've talked about, for me in St. Paul, State Senator, we have an all-woman city council now, and everyone of them except one are BIPOC.
I know, that's incredible. I don't know if there's any other city, you know, like large city, that has that kind of first of all women leadership, and then second of all the diversity of folks. And of course St. Louis Park elected their very first Muslim woman.
Right.
So the, you know, it's, there are people that are not going to be happy to hear this, but you know, the leadership and the vision and the world of Minnesota is changing. And I feel like it's really changing in a good way.
Absolutely. And you know, Mary, also the demographic is, I think they're all under 40. And most of them are under 35, which just blows my mind. And my candidate won here in my district, and I'm really happy. She's of Indian descent from India, and She is a former St. Paul Central grad, and she also is an engineer. So that's comes in handy, especially with all the building and things like that are happening in the cities around the country.
Right. I just have to say I am so impressed. And when we say the youth of leadership, I mean, let's just admit 40 isn't that young. But compared to you and me, yes, it is, and maybe not Haley, but the youth of the women that are stepping up to do it. And let's look back a few, you know, even my generation, mm-hmm. you know, women weren't in those roles mostly because they were starting their families, taking care of their families, maybe working and taking care of their families, you know, like I was. And mm-hmm. politics was the furthest thing from their mind. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even you and I know this, and, you know, maybe Haley, you experienced this in your educational career, is that we, you know, Robert, you and I as teachers tried to make our students more aware of what was going on mm-hmm. Politically and around the world. Right. So we weren't just concerned with our own little worlds, our own little towns, but we gave them a bigger, broader understanding, and also of the consequences of actions by leaders when they make a decision. I mean, look at what happened over in the Middle East and how it's affecting the whole world. Look yeah. what happened in Ukraine and how it's affecting the whole world. When World War II happened, we didn't have communication and multimedia like we do now. And so people didn't know, they didn't understand the consequences of the immediate action wasn't felt for probably months or years back in the day. But we, you know, it's just such a different world, and women are stepping up. Younger women, they have the kind of support that they need to be able to do a job, have an elected position, have a family. I mean, they really can do it all under the right circumstances. And I think it's just really imperative that all of us look out for those women and men, you know, you know, cisgender, whoever, want to step into those places, and how we can support them in the best way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talk to a lot of, you know, Amster gangsters, the OGs, and, you know, back in the day too, you know, matriarchy still is a thing. And it looks like a lot of the other people are jumping into that, because, you know, even when things were happening at Wounded Knee, for example, all the women were running the show in the background. They just had mm-hmm. Those two cats out in the front, because the press really loved Dennis and you know, just the way they looked or talked or whatever. But we know, when we talk to people like Madonna Thunderhawk, who is working in the background as a medic and all those things, and feeding everybody and making decisions. And it's funny, we don't always talk about this too, but our aunties, but our really our grandmas are the ones that can get rid of a chief, you know, and that's no kidding nowadays yeah. too.
Yeah. Yeah. In our culture and our ancestors, I think a lot of us look to the women, and, you know, our aunties, our grandmas, for the strength that was in the family. Have you watched the series Little Bird on PBS yet?
No.
You should. Again, strong women, and it's about that 60s scoop up in Canada, what? Robert. So it's very heartbreaking. I'm just gonna say it's 100%, you know, truthful, and it's based on a real story, but about kids that were taken from their family out on the reserve, from the parents. I won't tell you all of it. It is heartbreaking. There are some warm, loving moments in it, but again, it's based from the perspective of a woman, a girl, mm-hmm. and the strength that, you know, we all have to call up every now and then. But I don't want to like minimize or belittle the value of the men in our culture,
right,
and the role that they play in our culture. You know, so many of our men carry the wisdom, and there's nothing I love to hear more than when one of our men stands up and says a prayer, either in English or in their own language. I think of the Lemoyne family. I can think of a lot of men that when they stand up, I want to listen to them. Sometimes there's ones that I don't care to listen to, but I just feel like we're becoming empowered in a lot of different ways. And, you know, if we can recognize the value of being a male, a female, a two-spirit, whatever, that's really what's going to help us get back on our feet still in a lot of ways.
You know, we got less than a minute left here. And what I want to kind of say is that originally I started the show out saying Native Roots Radio, blank, 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 Native Roots Radio, I'm awake. And I feel like we've stayed with that I'm awake for a really long time, because I think that's kind of what you're talking about. People are waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm awake too. And I think that's what we're witnessing in many, many different ways here, whether it's we're communicating better and with each other, and we're taking action. And obviously here in the state of Minnesota, and specifically St. Paul, the city council in this last election, have really, the women have stepped up in a good way. And I know I'm grateful.
Good. I am too.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and here with State Senator Mary Kunish.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Mary T., inviting you to experience our integrative Mary T. Health and Wellness Center, offering physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Experience our guided imagery, meditation, Tibetan medicine, dry needling, massage services, including cupping and oncology massage. Sign up for our free wellness screenings and learn more at MaryTWellness.com. All major health insurance providers are accepted. Come for therapy. Experience wellness.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, we got a couple new Patreon supporters. We want to give them a big shout out. Thank you, Peeny Geegee. You know who you are. We don't want to put you out on blast, but we do appreciate the support. And shoot, we never were on Patreon until COVID hit and all our advertisers had to pull back. And so we really appreciate everyone's support then and now. So thank you so much. And And we have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and we're just here cruising through Friday in a real good way. And it's always fun to talk to you. And again, I appreciate your positivity. It helps me stay positive. And I got to remember all the great work that you guys have done, and that you had to go through some stuff in order to get the trifecta and do this great work for this state.
We did, and we did it by the skin of our teeth. But remember, it's just a few-person majority in the House and a one-person majority in the Senate here in Minnesota. Wow. Fortunately, in the Senate, we have four-year terms, so we'll have that majority for the next 3 years, knock on wood, that nothing ever happens. And then, of course, the House members have to get reelected next November. So, you know, we'll continue to do that work as best we can this next session. It was interesting this week. I had a meeting with the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council here. Minnesota Education Department, Indian Education here in Minnesota this week. And they gave me an update on all the good work that they've been doing this summer to implement the legislation that we passed last year. There's a bunch of grants that were going out for education workforce for American Indian folks. And those of you who are listening in Minnesota, I just want you to know this, that if you are an enrolled tribal member of one of our tribes here in Minnesota, you can attend any of our state universities and colleges tuition free, not just the University of Minnesota Morris, but any of our state colleges. Also, for the general population, if your family earns less than $80,000, you also can attend our state schools and colleges tuition free. So there's a lot of people that don't know that. And, you know, talking about the barriers to getting teaching license, getting educated. But we're trying to break down those barriers as best we can. And interesting enough, I think it was North Dakota just passed that as well.
Wow.
Because they were losing Minnesota students, you know, that came over to North Dakota. Then all of a sudden the Minnesota people are, you know, the Minnesota people are saying, oh, no, we'll just stay home. We can go free here. And so North Dakota then implemented it. So I just want folks to know that right off the bat when you're looking for it. Plus, there are tons of grants and different ways to support anyone who wants to go into teaching for teachers of color, especially our Indigenous and our Black and Brown people. Our kids need to see folks that look like them in the classroom. So there's lots of grants going out there. And a little update on the mascots. You know, we outlawed using Indian images or names in any of our schools, K-12, pre-K-12 here in Minnesota. And the exemption application went out in June and July. So schools needed to, if you are on a list, and they were all notified, so they know who they were, they needed to, if they wanted to continue to use that image or the name, they had to file for an exemption. And from what I understand, 13 were received.
Wow.
And I think they have to, they have until 2025 to make those changes. So I think there were 13 exemptions that were received, and 8 of them, the tribes and the team said, no, we don't want them to use that name and those images. So they have to change their name. They have to change their mascot. I know that means that they would have to, it's going to cost some money to scrape that image off your gym floor and off of the stadiums and, you know, remove those uniforms. We did not allocate any dollars towards that because we had no idea who would do anything, if anybody would. That's not to say we wouldn't reconsider that down the road, but by 2025, if they did not receive that exemption, schools need to make that change. And just a lot of money in American Indian aid for education, $11 million this year and $18 million for the next year. Remember, kids can start to carry sacred tobacco in schools. And a lot of it is around educating the schools and the school districts, but we just have tons and tons of really great stuff for our Indian schools. And I was really so impressed with those that are doing the work at the Department of Indian Education. We did not allocate any extra dollars for staff members, which was unfortunate because that meant for a heavy, heavy load for those that were already there. And so we want to say a huge Wapila Tanka Pinagigi Pilamia to all of them because they picked the load up and they are making this happen, probably tripling their responsibilities. So, but the outcome is just so positive that I'm really excited.
That is exciting. That wouldn't happen without the trifecta. And what kind of backup or teeth does this bill have? Is there funding involved if they don't change their name back? How does that work, or does it work?
Well, there isn't any funding that was put into. Are you talking about the mascots?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, we didn't have any money in there because, again, we weren't sure who was going to apply for the exemption and who wasn't. But as the chair of education finance in Minnesota, I would be curious to hear if this is a hardship, because, you know, the last thing we want to do is take money out of the kids' actual resources for learning. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to take them to have to use their money for out of general ed or any of these other buckets that they receive. But, you know, I think I told you that we've been traveling around the state, visiting different schools, talking to administrators, students, teachers, whatnot. You know, there was one school whose booster club was able to put together like $80,000 to redo their school gymnasium floor. And this had nothing to do with mascots. So this is just a regular. And so perhaps there are ways that the communities can come together and support their schools in that way. But, you know, it was not my intent to cause extra burdens onto the schools. And sometimes that does happen.
Yeah, it does. So what do we got to look forward to here? I know we got Thanksgiving coming up, and it's a family get together, and we all should remember why that is. We won't have you on next week because of that shopping day and then Thanksgiving. What are you and your family going to be doing?
Well, I think we've got over 40 family members coming to dinner. Thankfully not at my house, at my sister's house, but they're coming from far and wide. I can tell you that. Some folks that we haven't seen for a while, some family members we've just rediscovered in the last few years. My kids and grandkids will be there. So it'll be a full day of family and feasting, that's for sure.
Wow, that's exciting. And it's that time of year, it's warm out, there's people moving here in Minnesota. Have you had any updates on that? Because I don't know who I was talking to, but maybe it was a couple shows ago, Haley, that we were talking about people moving here and moving to Duluth. And I know Bob Blake from Red Lake was talking about the Solar Bear with the Solar News that people were going to be moving here, and then they stopped in the Twin Cities. Have you heard of any kind of shift in people moving here? And I know it's a safe place for our relatives to move here too, not just the weather.
Yeah, I have. You know, when a lot of the states were banning any kind of support for our trans kids, there were families that realized that their children weren't safe in the state that they lived in. And so there was discussion about a lot of families moving to Minnesota to be safe. My son was recently telling me about some friends of his whose family kind of migrated south, keeping a house here in the Twin Cities, but they're realizing that the heat is so intense during the summer and the lack of water. I mean, it's not conducive to a positive standard of living. And so they're all moving back to Minnesota. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. I know it happened during the pandemic.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A group which sued to keep former President Trump off Colorado's primary ballot next year is preparing to file an appeal to the state's Supreme Court. A judge rejected the group's effort. Congressional Republicans are preparing to release tens of thousands of hours of raw video from the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
The House Speaker says now nearly all of the recordings will be posted online. Material that's personally identifiable will be scrubbed out. But Republicans say starting next week, anyone can make an appointment to come to Capitol Hill to screen uncensored footage.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Police in Concord, New Hampshire are trying to determine a motive in a deadly shooting at a psychiatric hospital. They say the suspect opened fire in the lobby, shot and killed one person before being shot and killed by police. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter is in hospice care. She's joining her husband, former President Jimmy Carter, who began hospice care 9 months ago. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are urging Governor Evers to stop a land swap to create a new luxury golf course on the shore of Lake Michigan. Two groups say the proposed exchange would set a bad precedent for state parks and protected lands. The plan would take 5 acres from the Kohler Andre State Park. Opponents say it would damage the shoreline environment. Supporters say a new golf course would bring economic development. Flu, COVID-19, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. Health officials are urging people to get vaccinated. The Department of Health Services says hospital admissions for flu and RSV nearly doubled this week from last week. COVID-19 hospitalizations are also up slightly this month. Fewer than 1 in 4 people in Wisconsin have had the flu shot, and only 9% have had this year's COVID booster. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies overnight with a low of 26. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear skies again tomorrow, 50. Tomorrow night, lows around 29. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 34.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake and I'm your host, Robert.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, they do great work, and love partnering with them. Hey, we have a special, two special guests on. One of them is one of the originators of Native Roots Radio over 6 years ago, Jaleesa McKee, and we also have Bradley Lewis on, and we're going to be talking about New Native Theater. Jaleesa, welcome back to the show as always.
Hey, Kadagi, Jaji, Pina Gigi for having me.
Yeah, well, everyone, if you don't know, Jaleesa is my oldest daughter here, and she's number one. And also, Jaleesa, you helped start Native Roots Radio many years ago, and you were a big part of that first year.
Yeah, humble beginnings. I still remember doing like the Facebook Lives at the studio, the AM950 studio.
That's right. Well, we got big news, and you're, you know, I thought I was going to be the big shot of the family, but basically you are now the big shot of the family. And tell everybody what's going on and what you're doing and why I'm so proud to have you on and so proud to be your judge.
I would still say you're the star. You're the elder.
Elder star.
And I would say we all have our amazing roles in the family. Yeah, no, but again, thank you for having me. I just want to introduce myself as Chashkashep Wakahawinga, Holy Eagle Woman of Ho-Chunk Nation. I'm super happy to be on here with Bradley and also with my cousin Haley and you, Jaji. I am working as a full-time counselor. I work at a treatment center, so I'm very proud of that work that I do. I'm able to work specifically with our Native population and meet with them. And I also work as an actor. So I have a show coming up with New Native Theater that Bradley and I can talk more about. But yeah.
That's awesome. And let's get Bradley aboard. But before we give Bradley the, you know, checking him out and seeing what he's all about, I love that you said actor and not actress. That's just always been a thing for me, knowing actors all these years, is because do you call a woman doctor, a doctress? So I really appreciate that. So that's cool. Hey, Bradley, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Guatsi Sahalpa. Hello, everyone, and Dawaye for having me as well. My name is Bradley Lewis. I am a member of the Acoma Pueblo in New Mexico, and I'm super honored to be here with my co-star, Jaleesa. And it's just so exciting to be working with New Native Theater and being in Minneapolis for the first time. I don't know if you all know this, but I'm typically New York-based, so I have the honor of coming out to Minneapolis to do some really great theater.
That's awesome. And I don't know if you know this, and our relatives in Wisconsin know this, that Minnesota or Minneapolis has more theaters per capita everywhere except New York. And that's something we're really proud of here. And there's theater everywhere. And it's just a great place to enjoy the arts. Hey, let's talk about Jaleesa real quick, when the play is, and then maybe we can go back to that too. And then also a little bit about what it's about.
Yes, I would love to. So we are in a show with New Native Theater, and I do want to say shout out to them. It's an amazing organization. Mm-hmm. You've had Rihanna on the show quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
It's one of, I believe, 8 Native American theaters in the nation. So that's really exciting that we have that here in Minneapolis. And the play is called Christmas in Ochapi. And it opens at Red Eye Theater on, let's see, November 29th. And our shows, and then the closing show is December 17th. Mm-hmm. And our shows are at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. And then on Sundays are the matinee shows at 2 p.m.
Cool. And Bradley, maybe you can talk a little bit about what the play is about. And what we can be looking for.
So it's a super timely show because it's all about the holidays, which of course are just on the horizon for us all. And one thing about it, so it's we follow the Wheatley family. They're a Miccosukee family, which is a tribe based down in Florida in the Everglades. And my character, Junior, comes home for the holidays. He's got an older brother by the name of Donnie Boy. And they get up to all sorts of shenanigans. The mom, Virginia, and the father, Bo, played by Genevieve. What's Genevieve's last name again?
Lane.
Genevieve Lane plays Virginia, and Thomas Draskovich plays Bo. They're both amazing as well. David Valentine is playing Donnie Boy, but we all come home and we converge together. You know, it's up to the interpretation of whether or not my character's been home in a while. So we're dealing with some seeing each other for the first time again. And then I'm bringing my fiance by the name of Audrey, played by the wonderful Jaleesa McKee. And we come home. The catch is Audrey is white and she's coming home for Native Christmas. And she's about to see what it's really all about. And we get up to all sorts of craziness, and old grudges come up and new problems arise. It's a lot of fun. And one thing about it is I couldn't tell you any time that I've ever heard of a Native holiday story, right? Mm-hmm. You look at all of those classic films that, you know, a lot of us were brought up on, Home Alone, what are some of the other ones? A Christmas Story, or
On 34th Street. Oh, exactly. I'm old.
All of those are all Caucasian Christmas stories, and that's great and wonderful. But we are, as a Native people, we have holidays and rituals and things that we celebrate as well, and we do it our way. And so you get to see the Wheatley family do it their way, and it is so, so fun.
Jaleesa, playing a white person and knowing Indian ways, is that an advantage for you?
Yes, I would say, you know, there's a few different, I actually told Bradley this the other day. It was interesting being casted as Audrey. When I was auditioning, I knew I was up for Audrey or another character. Her name is Summer, and Summer is Native and from the tribe. So I thought that it was alluded to that I was going to be cast as the Native woman in the show. So it was a little bit of a surprise, but we kind of laugh because there's plenty of white people that have played Native people.
Exactly.
And so I am doing the opposite. And it's been an advantage in terms of understanding why this story is important. It's hilarious, I will say. I know I'm biased, but I think people will really enjoy the comedy element of it. I think... to play her is to understand kind of that other side of coming into community, that you really care about that community, but you really don't know and you don't understand. So I feel for her, and it's been really fun to play her.
Audrey's doing her best. She's really
she's doing her best. Yeah,
that's awesome. And you'll be fitted for a wig very soon, I hear rumors. And then our friend Roya is playing a police officer, did I hear?
Yes, she is. She's the res cop.
Yeah.
Officer Patty.
Right on.
Yes, Officer Patty. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, and I guess she was a part of the original reading of this play, or was that the last play you were in? I get him
confused. Of this one. Yep. Yeah. And Genevieve and Thomas were in the last production for those that came to see that. And it's really interesting, the contrast of that. I think we needed a comedy after that play. I cherish that time so much. So it's really going to be fun for people to see New Native Theater put on this comedy after following up that.
That's a really good point. Go ahead, Brad. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. We should plug Montana Cypress, the wonderful playwright.
Yes, please do, Bradley.
And he has created an amazing original piece that is really, it's truly unlike anything I've ever been a part of. And I've been lucky enough to do a fair amount of plays in the span of my career so far. This one is truly, it's unique, and it's so, so hilarious. We are laughing all the time in rehearsals. And Montana is so open to changes that fit the show. We had a running gig because all of the men in my family in this show, they all have long hair, and I obviously do not. And so we added a little funny bit about, you know, like Virginia, my mom's like, why'd you cut your hair without telling me? And so, like, you know, it's the whole thing. Yes. And he's been so open to even the tiniest little details that kind of make the show fit specifically for the cast that we're working with right now. And he's
so the playwright's with you working on the play.
Yes.
Oh, that in itself is amazing.
Yes, very hands-on. I'm so glad you brought that up, Bradley.
Yeah, so give us the time. We got a couple more minutes here to kibitz, but that's to get the dates and the time and the location again, Jaleesa.
Yeah, so it's going to be at Red Eye Theater. We open as soon as November 29th. And in my experience, the last shows sold out. So get your tickets ahead of time. But November 29th, and then we close on December 17th. Wednesday through Saturday performance are at 7:30 p.m. I do recommend getting there early because parking is limited. So 7:30 p.m. and then the Sunday shows are at 2 p.m. Red Eye Theater in Minneapolis.
So you'll have plenty of time to get my Christmas present because you'll have like 7 days before, after the play.
Precisely.
Right on. I appreciate that. Bradley, too, you can get me a Christmas present, too. And
oh, of course. Right. I would never dream of doing the opposite.
Right on. All right. Well, you guys, we got a couple more minutes. What else would you like to say about this play? How long does it run? Do we know the running time?
Yeah, it's going to be probably about 90 minutes right now, and there'll be no intermission. I should also mention that the tickets are pay as you can or as you wish, with a suggested starting price of $35. Though, of course, we want theater to be accessible. That's a broader issue throughout the theater community as a whole. So we're trying our best here to make it something that anybody and everybody can come to.
Wow, that's great. And Jaleesa, any last words here before we let you go?
Check out what Bradley is up to and all of his acting endeavors. It's great to have you and have somebody that's based in New York come out here and create art, especially for the Native community.
Well, I just love how Native Minneapolis is. I didn't quite realize that. It's been amazing to be here and to feel immediately welcomed by the community and get to do something that I hope speaks to a lot of us here.
Right on, Bradley. I'll give you a big ho-wa. And and a big peeny geegee. Thanks, Jaleesa, Bradley, Haley. We'll have you guys on again when we get even closer to the show. This has been fun. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Wendy and our sacred animal portion. Oh,
are you thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Hey, Haley, do you know what time of the year it is right now?
What time of year is it? It's football season, isn't it?
And hockey, but really, and well, in basketball, too.
It's a season for a lot.
We're only missing baseball, but no, what I was going to say, it's like time to set up your insurance. If you need to do that, MinSure is out there ready to help us.
Yes, MinSure is the one-stop destination for health insurance and tax savings in Minnesota. They actually provide assistance to everyone, no matter your income. So, remember, MinSure doesn't sell insurance. They help you find it. So you can learn more at MinSure.org.
Excellent. Hey, I feel like howling for MinSure, but we already howled for wolves. And, you know, it's Friday and it's just like a celebration day. And I know Wendy's working hard and she's given us another segment on our sacred animal section. So Haley, why don't we take a listen to Wendy and what she's got the Fun Fact Friday happening.
Absolutely. Take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. Today, I wanted to talk to you about pigeons. And the reason why I want to do that is because I've been spending some time in New York City. I was there today for most of the day, and I noticed so many pigeons around, and so many of them, you know, you could just walking down the sidewalk, they're there and they don't move. So you kind of have to like shuffle around and they kind of scoot around avoiding people. But they're very pretty birds. They're have that like iridescent kind of shine to them, and they are very pretty. And I know a lot of people think that they're nuisances, and I'm sure that they are. You know, they make a mess and they carry diseases and whatnot. But I was just curious about these birds because just seeing them really practically my whole life, I really don't know much about them. So I was looking up some facts about them. So that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. There are hundreds of types of pigeons throughout the world. The species found in New York City is the rock dove. They're mostly gray and white bird with a stout body and small head that perches on nearly every building in the city. These pigeons have evolved to live alongside people, while the city itself seems to be the perfect environment for them. Some of the reasons pigeons do well in New York City are because of the great perching and nesting spots. All of New York City's tall buildings and infrastructure is the perfect alternative to a rock dove's natural habitat on sides of cliffs. I didn't know that. So I guess you find a lot of pigeons around tall buildings because of that reason, and I'm just realizing that now. Of course, there is abundant food in New York City. Whether people are feeding the pigeons or the birds find food on the ground or in the trash cans, pigeons in New York City are able to sustain themselves entirely off of human food. So there you go. They could just eat McDonald's all day long or whatever they find on the ground. So there you go. They are fast reproducers. So fast reproduction. Pigeons reproduce all year round. The average time from mating until hatching is only 1 month. The chicks will leave the nest after another month, but not before more chicks are born. If the overall population starts to decline, reproduction rates increase to offset it. So with these factors, comprehensive pigeon control, like bringing in falcons to prey on pigeons, has minimal effect because they'll just reproduce more. So there you go. Businesses use and property owners are using things like bird spikes, bird netting, visual deterrence, and more to keep pigeons away from their property and cutting down on the spread of bacteria and the messes that can cause from the droppings. And the droppings don't look very nice either. So I mean, I get it. I do still like the pigeons. So, and this is another question I've never even really thought of, but why don't we see baby pigeons, not only in New York City, but elsewhere? So when a rock pigeon finally leaves its nest, they are full-sized with adult feathers, and they look just like their parents. So that's why we never see baby pigeons, and I never really even thought about that. So I thought that was an interesting fact. So in New York City, and elsewhere, the lifespan of a pigeon with regular food supply and favorable conditions, a feral pigeon can generally live up to 15 years, with the most elderly able to survive to the age of 30. However, the average lifespan tends to be much shorter, 3 to 5 years, and the typical lifespan of a New York City pigeon is only 1 to 3 years due to the harsh living conditions. I could see that. I mean, there's just so much traffic and pollution and people walking around. It doesn't surprise me, right? In what state is it illegal to frighten a pigeon? So there's actually a state in the United States where it is illegal to frighten a pigeon. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It is illegal in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to scare a pigeon. And this became legal or illegal the Christmas of 1659. And it's always been that way and they have never changed it. So you can't scare a pigeon if you're in Massachusetts. Pigeons mate for life. And I thought I this was a fact, but I wasn't positive. So pigeons mate for life. But if one partner dies, the survivor generally will attempt to find another mate. So, yeah, who wants to be alone, right? Often overlooked as a nuisance, pigeons are actually highly intelligent animals that can remember faces, see the world in vivid colors, navigate complex routes, deliver news, and even save lives. So we've all heard stories about the World War II pigeons who carry news back and forth, and that's really a wonderful thing. According to a number of environmental surveys and estimates, the number of pigeons in New York City is roughly 4 million. That is about one pigeon for every two people. With that many pigeons, there is no wonder why they are everywhere you turn. Pigeons spread out all across the five boroughs and do not migrate in the winter. Here is a very interesting fact about pigeons that I did not know, and I bet you most of you guys don't know either. Both the male and female pigeon produce milk. So produced from neck glands, infant pigeons look to both mom and dad for sustenance in the first few weeks of life. Staying warm is also a priority, so pigeons come with their own built-in down coats. They have a layer of soft, fluffy feathers they use to trap air bubbles and act as a layer of insulation. And despite their reputation, research shows that pigeons have amazingly visual, numerical, and memory abilities on par with some of the smartest bird species out there. So there you go. So just a few little fun facts about our New York City pigeons. And when you see a pigeon, you can remember all of these wonderful fun facts that I just shared for you. And back to you, Robert. Back to you, Haley. Thank you very much.
Wow. Wendy, thank you so much. Pina Gigi. Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.